I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold is joining us to fill in for Jesse today. Matt, welcome to our show, brother.
Thank you. Great to be here, Terry, as always.
You bet. And the title of our show is there a connection between violence and morality? But before we get into the topic of the day, here at the Terry and Jesse Show, every single day we take the gospel of the daily mass readings and share the what we call soul food with you. And it's taken from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 28. I am going to read it out loud for you, and then we're going to have a little conversation about it. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, that's the reason I stay in California. This is the reading. I knew I'd get a chuckle out of you.
Yes, of course. Well, it's the following of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis, the imitation of
that's
Christ.
Right.
It's based right on
right
this,
yep.
This verse and the one in Luke that's the parallel where Luke adds the word daily.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up your cross daily and follow me. And, you know, a couple of things. Of course, context is so important.
Yep.
Clearly, the message of this gospel is that if you're going to live an authentically Christian life, you're going to suffer.
Of course.
You have to, and you need to bear that burden.
Right.
Okay? I mean, it's like Bishop Sheen said, even a dead body can float downstream, but you have to be alive to swim against the current. And Christianity is very much an against the current kind of proposition.
You think? Especially right now.
Especially right now. Well, put it in the context of the way that Mark's, when they were first made, this is Matthew 16. He's just told Peter, "You are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. And now I have to go to Jerusalem and be handed over to sinful men and be crucified." And he said, "Don't do it." And after calling him the rock upon which he'd build the church, he calls him Satan.
Yeah, you know? Pretty extreme.
And then tells him, this is the thing. You gotta follow me. You want to follow me? Then you have to pick up your cross every day and follow in my footsteps. And there's one other thing. I'm going to make one little adjustment to the reading because you're reading, of course, from the missal for use in the United States in the Novus Ordo Missae. And, of course, that's the New American Bible translation. And there's one thing that I would take issue with. He says, "What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his life?" Well, I don't speak Greek, and I don't pretend to, but I know a little bit about Latin, and St. Jerome gave us the word anima.
Yeah.
And so it's, what does a man give for his soul?
Exactly.
Our human life is not the greatest of goods. The greatest good is our soul.
So, hey, guess what, everybody?
And that ties into our topic tonight.
It does, and I know you know this, but the last time I looked, there's an expiration date on my birth certificate.
That's right.
That says my body will die, but my soul continues to live forever. And we talked about this last week, just basic Catholic teachings, the general judgment, after a particular judgment, when our body and soul are reunited. You know, it's so beautiful to really have a good grasp of the Catholic faith. And that's why I joke about saying low information Catholics are leaving the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know the treasury that the church offers about the meaning and purpose of life.
Well,
I keep saying that.
Meaning is entirely, I mean, the whole point of the general judgment, that's a question you get in RCIA.
Oh, you do.
When you're a teacher. It's like, well, why, if I'm going to be judged when I die and I'm going to, you know, my eternal fate is sealed, then why is there a general judgment? Why do I have to be judged again?
Yeah.
Well, it's like you're not being judged a second time. What's happening at the general judgment is that everything is made clear. You know, we live in time. How often do people stand and shake their fist at the sky and rail, how long, oh Lord, how long? Yeah. Why is this happening? What could possibly be the purpose of this terrible thing that's happening? Well, at the general judgment, you'll find out. Yeah. Right? That's the time when all is revealed and everybody understands. And that's why I always say that, you know, when Jesus talks about that time and he says to those on my right, I'll say, come and, enjoy the place prepared for you by your Father. And to those on his left, he'll say, depart from me, you cursed, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yep.
But those people, you know, whatever they might be feeling when they march into hell, the one thing they will not be able to say is that's not fair, because it will have been made clear. Everything will be made clear.
Well said. Before we bring Bishop Sheen in, because we could talk a whole hour on this.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
to continue on, and then I slap myself.
Yes.
So wait a minute. We got to continue.
Yes. Other things to talk about.
But you know, Matthew, I want to give away a book called How Catholic Art Saved the Faith. It's the Triumph and Beauty of Truth, Encountering the Reformation Art. This book helps you understand the Catholic beauty of art.
Ooh, there's pictures. Matt.
I know you want it. Watch. Go ahead. Hey, sure. No, we're giving it away. If you call 877-526-2151, I just ask, give a little donation, because this is what I'm trying to do, is give you good books, good CDs, good literature, because this is what I do. I read five or six books a month, every month. Maybe even more, but that's an average, because I just want to keep learning. I want
mostly
keep
mystery novels and doctor books.
Actually, all on catechesis, our inspirational lives of the saints. But this book, How Catholic Art Saved the Faith, if you want to get a copy, just call 877. I only have one copy, 526-2151. It's my way of knowing you're out there, and in my way of going, I'm feeding you with good Catholic books.
You know what? And that is, I have not read this, but the thesis is terrific.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the we're talking about the Counter-Reformation. We're talking about that time. I mean, the sacred art that we all know and love largely comes from that period.
And why is that, Matt?
Because it's so catechetical.
Exactly. Because we were in a situation where catechesis wasn't being proclaimed, kind of like today.
Right.
This book, very valuable for us in today's church.
Yes. Well, very good.
Hey, let's bring in Bishop Sheen on this. Hey, great thing. Full Sheen ahead. Bishop Sheen has something to say. And remember, our show title today is there a connection between violence and morality? Well, here's the reading from Bishop Sheen, and I'll let Matt give his comment. An overemphasis on the temporal security is a compensation for the loss of the sense of eternal security. So let me ask you, do you think the vitamin pill companies are doing a pretty good business right now?
I think they probably
are.
And
why do you think they do that, Matt?
Because people are scared to die.
And they think that if you take these pills,
I'll live forever. Yeah. Or I'll live longer at least. You know, it is amazing.
Tell me.
That the one thing
that
human beings have in common, the great equalizer, is that we are all going to die. It
is
a foregone conclusion. There's no escape. Everyone will die. And yet most of us live our lives
like it never will happen.
It's like it's never going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, without making any kind of preparation or even considering it.
And Matt, you, as a non-Catholic, you're a convert to the faith, and you lived your life for a certain amount of years. Yeah.
36 years.
To be exact, I didn't bring that up. But, you know, you lived like, you know, you never really thought about death. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Well, I was invincible, of course. Yeah.
So you can have empathy for the culture.
I'm sorry?
Empathy for the culture.
Yeah.
Because you've been there.
I have been there. I've lived apart from the grace of God. I've lived apart from the truth of the gospel.
Wow.
Is
that where you get your passion? Because, I mean, I see this passion for 25 years that I've known you. And you're constantly wanting to teach people the meaning and purpose of life.
Yeah, and well, because having discovered it, you know, it's the pearl of great price.
Yeah.
It's all over the gospel. It is. If you discover this, the last thing you want to do is go, you know, hide it under a bushel basket, as our Lord would say.
Well said. We're going to be talking about the violence that's going on in our culture, and I've heard a lot of people on lots of stations, secular and Catholic stations, talking about it, but I really haven't heard what I would consider a Catholic approach to the cultural problems of our time. And we know that, and I know you know this, that broken families lead to a broken country and a broken world. because life is cheap, and in this kind of godless society, without God, nothing is possible. But with God, broken families can be mended, respected for life, can be restored, and the world redeemed. Here's the message I want to give and what the Catholic Church gives to our culture, that God loves us and cares for us. Matter of fact, if God stopped thinking about you, our listener, you'd cease to exist. Think about that. He even sent his son to die for us, to save us, and to bring us to everlasting life. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just don't see it getting out to the common Joe. I think of what St. John Paul II wrote back in 1994, a letter to the families. He said something similar. The way the family goes is the way the culture goes. Well, if the family's got all kinds of violence going on, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense that the culture is in a violent storm now?
There's a lot
there. No, I'm just throwing it at you.
But one of the first things that I would note is that the core violence is the violence done to the sacrament of matrimony.
Oh, big time.
That people consider the matrimonial covenant as not until death us do part, but, you know, until further notice.
And Matthew, do you realize, and when we take a quick break, I want you to comment on this, the violence you talked about in marriage, but I want to talk about what I consider a key element in the violence of our culture, and that is humani vitae, separating life and love. How does that apply to the culture we live in? When we come back, we'll talk more about that. That's a teaser, folks. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold, our good friend, is filling in for Jesse. Matt, Jesse will be back on Monday. If you'd like to make a donation, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. It's Terry and Jesse Show, but Matt Arnold's filling in for Jesse. I left a teaser on the table when he left for the break, Jesse, or Matthew, and I said, is there a connection with, you know, violence and morality. But can we go back to 1968, those terrible 60s, where Paul VI came out with Humanae Vitae talking about birth control intrinsically being evil? And it seemed like a lot of people just didn't listen and continued to live, you know, selfishly in the marriage covenant. And marriages were going apart and violence was coming in. Do you think there's a connection with the whole concept of what marriage is and the purpose of marriage?
Actually, when we were, I'm just going to let the folks in on a little backstage here. Prior to the program, we were talking about this, and you made the point that it's selfishness.
Yes.
That people are driven by pleasure. When something ceases to be pleasurable, they go to seek it elsewhere.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you a little story. And about 1980, it was 1984, in fact. I remember the year. I was in a band at the time. We were playing at a fine nightclub called the Whistle Stop in Barstow, California.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's at the, in a, at the above the world's busiest McDonald's, as it turns out. Anyway, long story longer, I had never, as an adult, been to Las Vegas. I went once with my parents when I was a little kid. But back then, I mean, this is the early 60s, there was nothing going on in Vegas for little kids except to sit in the hotel room and swim in the pool, right? And I decided, since I was halfway there and I had a couple of days off, I would drive up to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive and drive, you go all through the desert, and it's just barren and awful. And you finally get to the Nevada state line.
Oh, yeah.
And you step 1 foot over Nevada state line, and there's a casino.
On the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so Whiskey Pete's. And I decided I would stop there and use the restroom, maybe get myself a cup of coffee to make the rest of the journey. And I'm a California native, and I love the mountains, and I love the desert. There is a beauty to the desert.
Absolutely.
That is... You know, I mean, and it's in your blood, I think, if you're born and raised here. And I was in that parking lot, and it was just as the sun was going down. It's that beautiful time of day when photographers take pictures, and the wind was blowing, and that's all you could hear. All I could hear was the wind and just this silence and this, you know, beautiful sunset on the desert. As I walked across the parking lot, and I stepped into the little airlock, you know, they have for the air conditioning out in the desert. You step into one set of doors, and you go through another set of doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped through the second set of doors. I was hit with a wave of this smell of stale cigarette smoke and alcohol.
Ouch.
And all of this noise and flashing lights of all of the slot machines and the video poker. And there's people walking around like zombies holding little little buckets full of change that they put into the... And I look at them and I think, this is what hell is like.
Mm.
You have all of these lost souls desperately trying to have a good time, trying to give themselves pleasure and failing completely. And that's ultimately where that kind of thing leads. I'm not here to preach a sermon against gambling. I'm saying that pleasure isn't an end in itself. You know, and if you treat it as one, your life is going to be empty and miserable. And that's another reason these people become so violent, I think.
Well,
it's a reaction.
Before I get to a text that I just got, I want to just say I read one of the Lives of the Saints where they said what hell was like is like you're sitting in a chair like Matt's sitting. Mm-hmm. And you've got a wonderful dish of food that's the greatest meal right in front of you. But your hands are tied and you can smell the food, but you can't eat it. And so that's what you have constantly. In other words, you're being told that you messed up in this life and you're not going to be able to have any, you know, goods like that, like a good meal anymore. So I don't know how in the analogy, but it was the point that when we separate ourselves from God, that's the biggest.
Yes, when you separate love from life.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I mean, that was Paul, to bring it back around, that was Paul's sixth point
in
Humanae Vitae,
yes.
That you can't separate those two things.
Yeah. Somebody just said, hey, we're going to be coming up to this topic on the gun control issue. He says, if you take all the guns away, the violence will go away. You know, Matt, I laugh too.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just stop and let that sink in.
Yeah, come on.
You know, you take all the guns away and the violence will cease.
Tell that to the bad guys. Okay.
You know, that's what is called in philosophy a non sequitur. One does not follow the other.
Right.
Think about it. Well, there's a big story out of England a few years ago, and
oh yeah, that's
this
sad.
Story. Unfortunately, as years have gone by, it's come out that it's multiplied in many communities. I was just reading about Oxford. Okay,
yeah.
Oxford,
England.
Not a big city where there's a lot of crime.
Yeah,
52nd largest city in England, the home of Oxford.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
famous.
The great Catholic university. Well, it started that way anyhow. You know, Bishop Sheen did his graduate work at Oxford.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, right? Mm-hmm. All these great people. and this beautiful idyllic place. And over a period of a decade or so, hundreds of girls ages 11 to 14 primarily were systematically raped and beaten and tortured and forced into essentially sexual slavery by Pakistani immigrants. Okay. Muslims.
Yep.
Now, they don't have guns in England, but it didn't stop violence from happening.
No.
In fact, because of other issues, authorities were perfectly aware this was happening and did nothing about it because they were hamstrung by their fear.
Yeah, being a
of you know, a public opinion
phobia.
Yeah, yeah, that's a real phobia. I mean, yeah. It's actual fear.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, you know, and what's the solution? Well, if these several hundred young women and girls had come from several hundred stable families,
yes,
with two parents,
yes,
and a dad that had a shotgun, it wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting that arming everybody is the answer any more than disarming everybody is the answer.
Right.
All I'm saying is that guns are not the problem. Right, the problem is sin.
Yep.
But when you break it all down, that's what it comes back to. So if you want to effect a change here, like our good Lord, he didn't take over the Roman Empire with an army. He took it over with love, and that's what we need.
Well said. I have an article from the Catholic World Report: What the Church Does and Does Not Teach About Gun Control, because everybody's talking about it. But I just want to give a practical solution to a situation where dads might be involved. And I talk about this because there are people on the radio, Catholic radio, secular radio, who say that, you know, if I'm in a situation at home and somebody comes into my house, they break into the house, they've got a gun, they're going to do harm to me or to my wife and my children, I'm not going to shoot them because, you know, violence is not the answer. And I would gently say, you got a problem, and I'll tell you what the problem is. The culture has feminized the culture to a point where dads don't understand that they have a moral duty and an obligation to defend their wife and children. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church points out, and Matt's just edging to talk on this talk, I can tell. because it's a masculinity.
Straining at the list.
Yes, but it's because if somebody came into my home, I am going to stop them. Now, my intention is not to kill them, but it's to stop them. But if they die because I shot them, well, they probably shouldn't have come into my home to do harm to my wife and family, because I'm going to do that every time. And if I don't do that, Matt, I am remiss on my duty as a father.
That's what it boils down to. If you want to be a pacifist and join a order of monks, yeah, that won't hurt a mouse, that's fine. Yeah. That's perfectly fine. That's a perfectly, mm-hmm, legitimate decision for you to make. However, sure, if you want to be a husband and a father, you take on the obligations
and
the duties. And it's not only defending your wife and children against unjust aggression. It's defending yourself as well, because they depend on you.
Exactly.
Okay? And that's why you also don't do, in an effort to support them, you don't break into somebody else's house.
Yep.
It's all connected. You see, and that's the thing. It goes back to that. Well, I was talking about the terrible story in England. Is that it's a matter of people using, failing in their obligations. Those girls had a right to expect to be defended by their society, by their authorities, right? The law enforcement and the courts and so forth. Their job is to defend them. And to punish those who would, unjustly, do things, commit crimes against them and their persons. They have a right to expect that, okay? Just as my children have a right to expect that I'm going to do what's best for them, and I'm going to do what's best to protect them, and that I'm going to not be rash with my own life because, you know, I have to, you know, remember that I need to be around to be able to fulfill my duties.
Well said, Matthew. And I believe we're having Tim Gordon calling in, one of the friends of ours. He's also going to be talking about morality. He wrote a book regarding America and the Catholic faith and tying it into this issue of morality. But I want to just mention again, I almost hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it. And that is, I think it's time.
You didn't hesitate very long.
No, I think it's just time for us to address the issue of masculinity in our church. Have you noticed, folks, very few men going to church on Sunday? Hmm. Have you noticed that, Matt?
Yeah, have you noticed that? It's so funny. They just, in Rome, and I'm sorry. Stuff strikes me funny, and Chesterton said that the mark of a healthy religion is if you can laugh at it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I laugh all the time, especially the dumb things we're doing.
They have
right
these
now.
Synods. I mean, they just had one, what is it, a year or so ago.
On the family?
Within the last year. Yeah. No, it was not a synod of bishops. Oh. It was a symposia of some sort. Regarding the place of women in the church, and
to
discuss women in the church. And it's like, you know what? The division of authority in the church right now is that men have the priesthood and women have everything else. And I'm sorry, you know, even most churches, they even have female sacristans.
Yep.
You know, I went to a wedding this last springtime, and it was at a church, and there was a lady sacristan. She was all vested and done up in a black suit and with a short haircut and Oxford shoes on, and just, you know, I'm going to say, what is it that she still lacks?
Yeah.
You know, what are they fighting for? What are they upset about?
Amazing. Hey, when we come back, I want to shift gears to the Dayton mass shooter and his connection to the drag queen story. What? And his hatred for women. Maybe you don't know about this because I'm sure the media wouldn't want to make a connection with that, but we're going to. And I also want to remind you, I still have one copy of this, the How Catholic Art Saved the Faith from Ignatius Press. I'm giving it away. We just give a little donation by calling 877-526-2151. And by the way, at the same time you go online or call, register your wife for the women's conference, man.
There you go.
That's a very masculine thing to do. Tell your wife you're going to a conference. You got Father Charles Murr speaking. You've got Mary Danielle Barber. You've got Dr. Nicolosi and the other woman.
And Eileen Blakowski.
Eileen will be there. We got a nice lineup. Now, it's filling up quickly, but I would encourage you to go online, just do it and get it done by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or calling 877-526-215.
It's filling up too, so you want to move
absolutely
on that.
And by the way, if you look on our website for upcoming events, wow, we just tied down the Spiritual Warfare Conference. We're going to be at St. Christopher's Church in West Covina because we outgrew our chapel. So go ahead and, you know, put your name down for that because it's time to register for all these great events. Why do we do these events? Well, number one, we want to inspire you to meet like-minded Catholics where you can build friendships because right now you need that. And also inspire you with good content that you can take home and share with your family. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. My teaser is this. Dayton mass shooter, drag queen story? What? We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, "Hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse Show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio."
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-215. 1-800-951-5751.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jesse on Friday. So, Matt, thanks again for filling in. You sure are full of energy today, Matt.
It's good to be here.
Hey, I made a teaser about the Dayton mass shooter and drag queen story, ours both motivated by hatred of women. I didn't see this in the news, but I got it on LifeSite News, and I almost cringed to read. My vocabulary is pretty weak when it comes to sadistic stuff, and I'm glad it is. But
I learned a new term today.
Yeah, well, Connor Betts, the man who killed 9 people and injured dozens of others in a shooting rage outside a bar, was the lead singer of a porno grind death metal band that performs horrific songs about rape, murder, necrophilia, and other gruesome acts against women. Matt, are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm just stunned. My mouth is open. Is this microphone on?
Yeah, the last thing I expected to hear in one sentence out of your mouth is the words porno grind and necrophilia.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that...
still don't know what it is, and I'm glad.
Well, it calls itself the menstrual munchies, and it was known to wear Antifa masks and dresses, performing songs, sexually violent. You know, they actually did some horrible things. I won't even describe because it's a family show. But the point I'm trying to make is that this kind of stuff is legal in our country. And let me show you something, Matt, and I want your take on this. There's a young 14-year-old girl. I mean, she's a YouTube girl. She's a conservative girl. And she made a video criticizing, oh my gosh, Pride Month.
Oh,
homosexuals. Okay. And her channel has been completely banned by YouTube. They wrote her a letter saying that, you know, this is hate monger material and we're not going to let it on. Why do I bring the two up? Go ahead.
Well, just quickly, because I want you to make your point.
Yeah.
But just understanding the context of the conversation we're having right here. How do we know that this guy is a porno grind, death metal, Antifa drag queen guy?
Right.
Well, you know, we know he's a socialist, avowedly. He's a supporter of Democratic presidential candidates.
That's true.
He is... And it might be tongue in cheek. I want to believe that this whole band thing is all tongue in cheek and shocking, except that he went out and murdered a bunch of people.
Yep.
So now I have to assume that it's not.
Nope.
And all over his social media is Hail Satan, and I'm doing these things, and you know, so forth. They're making all these satanic references. But the point is that how do we know all this about this guy? Because we went to his social media. And there it all was.
Yeah, he was
his
proud
porno
of him.
Grind, necrophiliac, death metal, drag queen, socialist, Satanist profile is everywhere to be seen and enjoyed by all. But a 14-year-old girl has a problem, perhaps feels threatened by all of this.
You nailed it.
And she's the one that gets banned.
Yep. Is there something? Is this microphone on?
No, I just got to say, if that's the state of our culture,
which it is.
Then, you know, we've got some problems that are a hell of a lot more serious than, you know, background checks for buying guns.
Well said, Matt.
Because you know what? Terry mentioned I live in Orange County.
Yeah.
Day before yesterday, a fellow who's been arrested.
Horrible. 14 times.
Yeah, 13 times for 14 now.
Yeah.
For various violent criminal acts, let back out on the street because of legislation here in my home state of California, went on a killing spree and did he have a gun? No, he had a machete.
Exactly.
And guess what? People are just as dead.
Yep.
Okay? The issue is what's, you know, going on in our society. And the fact that the, you know, people that are in positions of authority are falling down on the job. They're not doing
what
they
is.
Are.
Yeah.
You know, these authorities exist only to keep this sort of thing from happening. That's their only job. Job one, that's it.
Protect the sets of the innocent.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And you know.
And yet.
Go ahead, Matt.
The innocent seem to be the only ones that aren't even being considered in the equation.
That's where I was going with that. Yep. Well said. Hey, I have Eddie Chavez from Jesus 911. Not on the
you
phone.
You get me all bent out of shape.
Got you
come
all,
on your program.
I want you to. Because you know what,
I'm
Matt?
Such a sweet guy.
Yeah, you are. But you know, it's really, it's asinine to have to deal with this because there is a
it
solution.
Is. And so much of this stuff is just self-evident in a rightly ordered society. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh on my way in.
Yeah.
And he was talking about an article from one of the lifestyle writer, lifestyle critic, from Huffington Post, saying that she's seriously considering not allowing her children to see their grandparents anymore because they're Catholic and they're pro-life and they're uncomfortable when they see men kissing on commercials. And in other words, because
normal.
They're normal, yeah. And so when did the switch flip?
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's, and I woke up in topsy-turvy world. I feel like Eddie Albert on Green Acres. I feel like I'm the only sane person in the entire world sometimes. Yeah. You know, we live in bizarro land.
I want to bring Eddie Chavez in from the studio, from Jesus 911, because he has a retired cop for over 30 years.
This is what you get from when you're hanging around and having lunch, instead of going home.
And I'm
going
to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad we have police in here. I am.
Amen.
Because protection. I love having policemen. So I want to bring Eddie in. He's going to take my seat, so I'm going to step out. And then I'm going to ask Eddie a question regarding the issue of firearms and take his take regarding protecting your family. What would you tell a father as a policeman in the sense of protecting your family? So Eddie Chavez from Jesus 911, step on, come on up.
All right. And so for those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, Terry is actually stepping out of the booth. And Eddie Chavez is taking...
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It's good to see you. And I don't know whose glasses those are, but probably want to keep them on the table and not the floor. Okay.
Right. So Matt, I've been listening to you guys talk, and this is a very worthy subject for my line of work.
Sure.
And of course, look, when you have people running around the society as we have today, and... You have to be aware of what's going on around you. You have to be aware of your surroundings. And the reality is, if in fact somebody is going to threaten or attempt to threaten, I think we should make the commitment to protect ourselves, like you said, protect our families. But it's absolutely necessary. It's nothing. I don't think it's a moral issue. It's an issue to make of protecting or not protecting. As Catholic people, we take that commitment seriously, and I think that should end the argument right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also spoke a little bit about a radio broadcast that we all heard, and I heard it live, and my thing was, why would
you're talking about a radio host who said if somebody break into my house, I wouldn't resist because violence is bad and I'm a nonviolent person.
Right.
And taking that as though it were a Catholic position.
Right. Exactly. All exactly. Right. And this is the reality, Matt. You know, if you wanted to go to scripture and look at it, then the reality is in Romans 13, we are bound to respond and adhere to a legitimate government. If in that instance, somebody was to come and take the guns out of my home, like the question was presented, then the reality is we have to that's not a legitimate government. This country was founded on the Constitution. That Constitution actually makes perfectly clear that we are allowed to have arms. And if somebody were to go against that we have to discuss the whole Constitution before we can determine if that's an appropriate response. And that's my take on it. I mean, I think somebody should have brought up the fact that we actually should have thought about Romans 13, because that is essentially where the centurions, the military, and law enforcement get their marching orders from Romans 13.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting too that you bring that up there, because there's a couple other. I mean, obviously, it's all connected. In the medieval times, law enforcement, they didn't typically have, villages and so forth, didn't have a standing police force. They didn't have standing armies.
Right.
Right. You know, people were bound by promises to help if there was violent conflict, but they didn't have troops and, you know, so forth that were standing always ready. So when there was something, a violent crime or a robbery or something like that occurred in a little township or a little village, whatever, they had what was called the hue and cry, right? Somebody would ring a bell and everybody would come running out and deal with it.
Yes.
You know? And that's another thing I think that's missing is that sense of community, that we don't know our neighbors and we're not as concerned with helping or defending other people or, even our own thing, simply because we don't have any kind of vested interest in the people that we live with.
You know? Right. Yeah. And that's important, Matt, because the reality is we allow these individuals that are roaming around our society to take and take. How many times do we have homeless or other people approaching us and we allow these things to happen? We probably shouldn't do that. I mean, we have people that are beggars, et cetera, that we're we give to them. We understand that some are needy, but there are some that are threatening, and we don't care for each other in the regard that you were speaking of. We don't. And as law enforcement, I remember dealing with people that were witnesses to things that never ever took any incentive to insert themselves in the situation to allow it to go away. Mm-hmm. And this is something that for me was difficult because we do have that obligation, like you said, that ring that bell and come out and assist.
Right. I think, well, that's kind of the point of the Good Samaritan is everybody's your neighbor. At the end of the day, you know, we're all in this together and right. We need to kind of have each other's backs, so to speak, because some of us are going to be, you know, against the flow. They're not going to want to play ball. They're not going to want to play by the rules. Look at this guy that went crazy in Orange County and went on this killing spree. He'd been arrested for violent crimes 13 times. I mean, you know, what happened to three strikes and you're out?
Yeah, you know, man, that's another whole case. I mean, obviously, this individual was a troubled individual. I mean, just on the level, just kind of putting my head on the chopping block, mm-hmm. I kind of believe somebody like this has got to be possessed.
My wife, when they put the pictures of him as he was getting booked and yep. the look in his eyes, she said, that man's possessed.
Yeah.
And he was certainly possessed by something other than a spirit of goodwill, and that's for sure. All right. Back with lots more Terry and Jesse Show right after this here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
many
it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Thank you, Eddie Chavez, for joining us on that last segment. Tim Gordon is going to join us now. But before I do that, I want to say that every show we do here at the Terry and Jesse Show, we talk about problems, but always the last segment, solutions. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we do have solutions to every single problem in the world. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so that's what we want to talk about. But Tim Gordon, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show again, my brother.
Oh, thanks. Thanks again. Always great to be with you, you brothers. Brothers from another mother.
Brothers from another mother. I love it. Hey, Tim, I want to get your take on the title of this show was, Is There a Connection Between Violence and Morality? And I thought of you because of your book. What's the title of your book again, Tim?
Catholic Republic, Why America Will Perish Without Rome.
That sounds like a solution book for what we're talking about, Tim. So people can get that book by going, what, to Sophia Press? Is that true? Or where can they get it?
Yep. Yes, sir. SophiaInstitute.com. Right. Sophia Institute Press. Great, great Catholic book imprint. And they did good work, and I was proud that they gave the book a second chance. It was published before. Good. But I'm dealing with this exact kind of thing.
Well, tell us.
It's a sort of sad instance in what I'm talking about here.
Yeah. Well, Tim, give us a solution, because we talked about, you know, gun control. We talked about, you know, morality control. we talked about the program of how a father needs to defend himself, his wife, and family, and use proportionate measures to do that in a sense of defending oneself, even with a gun. But I want to ask you, what the heck is going on in our culture, Tim, from a philosophical and moral position? What do you see going on, and what do you see as the solution?
Well, it's relatively simple.
Okay.
The family has been all but destroyed in our post-Protestant, post-Enlightenment culture in America, and I do address this in the book. It's been all but destroyed by a few forces which have culminated in a unique way, but mostly really by feminism. The family has been destroyed by feminism. 50% of families, it's a relatively well-known statistic, actually visibly, physically split.
That's right. Don't have a dad at home.
Yeah, a healthy portion. Yeah, don't have a dad in the home. Yep. And I want to talk about that as uniquely important to the active shooter issue.
Yep.
But also among the other 50%, the quote unquote good 50% of homes that don't split.
Yeah.
There aren't as precise statistics in this regard, but anecdotally, when you walk around, you talk to people, they essentially have a passively absconding father. He might not actually be out of the home, run out on the wife and kids the way it is with 50% of dads. But for all intents and purposes, I think a good portion, 90% of those 50%, where the fathers are technically in the home, are all but absent.
Well said.
And are not. And then people say, well, not my dad. And then you're like, okay, well, look, I'm not trying to single anybody out. But, what has your dad taught you about, contraception? What has your dad taught you about the real presence of the Eucharist, the need for confession, the need to avoid pornography and masturbation?
Sure.
And
all those things.
The point is, when we get into the actual portion of fathers that are not only in the home, that's element one, but element two, they're in the home and they're actively teaching. Then literally, if we were to hone in on that population, all other factors being equal, there are zero of these school shooters or active shooters in public who have come from a household with, again, not a perfect household, mm-hmm. just a household with a half decent father who's active.
Well,
but
right.
at a lower level, I don't think I've seen one of these where even element one was satisfied.
Yeah. You nailed it. Matthew, what's your take on that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's what we've been talking about really here is mm-hmm. we started with Humana Vitae and, you know, it's contraception. These are the things that led to the breakdown of the family. I mean, now the family is just being, I mean, it's not a matter of it breaking down from within. It's being actively fought against, advocated against, attacked by the very forces that, you know, supposedly run our country.
Right. Tim, you also mentioned masculinity or feminization of our church and our culture. We talked earlier in our show about how a dad has a moral obligation to defend himself, his wife, and children, and using even a gun to protect his family at home if an intruder came in. And we said that we have a moral obligation as a dad. And I just kind of say that I've had people push me and say, no, I'd let them shoot me or kill me and my wife and family. I'm going, wait a minute, this is on Catholic radio, people saying this. I'm like, where are you getting this from? Because our church doesn't teach that. So I want to hear your take on that.
Certainly, yeah. I thought it was what I used to think until I got into some of the same Catholic circles you do, where you have people push back at outright pacifism, which is not a Christian principle. It's it's a secular humanist principle, mm-hmm. ironically. Mm-hmm. Pushing pacifism as a Christian thing, much as they'll push other inherently antithetical, anti-Christian ideas as you know, having a Christian form, a Christian iteration, like Christian feminism or something. There's no such thing, nor is there mm-hmm. really such a thing as right-minded Christian pacifism. Now, this doesn't mean that there's not a place for the martyrs, particularly in something like the Roman Empire.
Sure.
Martyrdom is probably the best option. But no, you know, I thought it was common sense. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You bring a more powerful gun to a gunfight.
Equalizer.
Right.
Yep. Well, that's great. Well, Tim, I know we got several more people on hold, but I wanted to make sure you got on to give us your take on this, because this is an important topic in our culture to re-Christianize the culture. And your book, again, I want to give one more plug for your book. I said Sophia Press, I guess, but it's
Sophia Institute.
Sophia Institute. That's how they can get the Tim Gordon book. Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Tim, and we're going to move on, but keep up the good work up where you're at in the Bakersfield area. And I know you're on with Dr. Marshall, and I would encourage people to check you out on that. So thanks again for calling in.
Thanks a million.
You got a partner.
See you soon. Thanks a million.
Bye-bye now.
You know, just quickly before we take this, I mean, we only have a couple of minutes left, but one of the things I wanted to say, you know, a point to reiterate is that these problems are moral problems.
Yeah.
It's about morality. It's about the breakdown there. It's not, you know, I mean, somebody said, oh, it's all Trump's fault.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Give me a break.
I mean, and actually, I mean, somebody texted you before, and I think they were being facetious.
Yeah.
But I've dealt with this with people saying, oh, Trump is this, and he's the one that's created this. It's like, well, what about the mass shootings that happened during the Obama administration? Yeah. I mean, by that logic, Obama was responsible for those ones then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and now Trump's responsible. It's like, no, it's not the president, and it's not guns that are the problem. It's morality that's the problem.
Totally agree with that. Hey, Luis and
a lack of morality.
Luis in Orange County, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You're on with Matt Arnold and Terry Barber. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Terry. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. How about yourself?
Doing really, really good. I had the pleasure of meeting Jesse last week.
Good.
We were talking, and I know I was going to give you a call.
Sure.
But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, I'm a psychiatrist here. And so I always want to talk about, you know, are we training the mind towards Christ, and are we training the mind towards God?
Excellent.
You know, so one of the things that we need to consider is, what's the natural inclination of the mind and the soul?
Perfect.
And the mind and the soul always want to go towards truth, goodness, and beauty.
Right.
And when are we talking about that in society? You know, we're great at putting out violence. We're great at putting out, you know, all these different things. But when do we stop and say, hey, let's expose our brain, our mind, our soul to what is truth, to what is good, and what is beautiful?
Exactly.
Because if we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, Jesus talks about the sound eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what does he say? He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And really the bottom line is that we're going to expose ourselves to immorality, if we're going to expose ourselves to negative things out there, we're going to fill ourselves with darkness, and unfortunately, we're going to like it. We're not even going to realize that our light is now dark, and that's not good at all. We need to really expose back ourselves to the truth, to the goodness, and the beauty that Jesus Christ teaches, and that's what's going to bring us closer as a family and as a society.
Well said.
You put your finger on
you
it
did,
because
you
what,
nailed
you, what
it.
You're talking about is the difference between pleasure and happiness.
Exactly.
Because we're constantly looking for pleasure. We're not seeking the things that will make us happy. Yeah. And the mind wants truth. The soul wants forgiveness. It wants peace. The heart wants love. Exactly. And we're not going to find those things in their fullness apart from our Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's why the answer is Jesus Christ. Luis, you got a PhD in common sense, and I think
that's as well as being a doctor of psychiatry.
Yes.
It's good to know that someone in your profession.
You must believe in original sin too.
Right.
Of course.
I know.
Of course. I was really glad to hear Jesse this morning talk about the Baltimore Catechism, because that's what I teach to my kids. You know, it's like if we keep it basic, it's simple. It's not that hard.
That's
right. To find what is good is not that hard. And, the truth is very, very simple. And that's really what the soul feeds on, the heart feeds on. And that's how we know we come closer to Christ.
Yeah.
If we stick to the basic truths, we can't go wrong.
We want,
amen. Boy,
you know, we need to have you on the show more
that's
often.
Right. We've been,
I'm going to call you.
Luis,
I know who you are. I left a message for him. He's called. Okay, we're going to have to chat. So we'll talk a little later. But I want to thank you for joining in on this conversation, because you just nailed it for a solution at the end of our program, because we always try to do problem solution, and it comes down to always Jesus Christ is the answer to all of our problems in our culture and in our world, and the kingship of Christ.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Luis.
You're very welcome.
God bless you.
All right.
Talking about the kingship of Christ, Matthew.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, talk about the kingship of Christ. Well, you know what? It's... We understand that Christ is king. I'm going to talk about it a little bit in the gospel for this week's upcoming Mass in the Extraordinary Form this Sunday, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. That's on Happy Hour, coming up right after the Terry Jesse Show.
I wanted you to make that plug, brother. Thank you.
But it's part of the gospel is that very point that Jesus is our king. He needs to be the Lord in our life, right? The word Lord, Dominus, right? Where we get the word dominion. We need to let Christ take dominion in our lives. And remember, as St. Paul said, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
That's the answer, folks. Hey, why don't we let our government know this?
Yes,
all right, folks. Hey, Matthew, what state should we be living in, brother?
That would be the state of grace, Terry Barber.
I love living in the state of grace. And what state shouldn't we never be living in?
Want to avoid the state of sin at all costs.
And if you haven't been to confession in the last month or so, and you're waiting for someone to invite you, because that's what it takes, that's me! Go to confession, dude. Go to confession, sweetheart. You know why? It's good for the soul.
Amen.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful. If this is the first time, you can go to our podcast and listen to any of the shows 24/7 or any of the other shows on Virgin Most Powerful. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.